Rookie Fever, the show that looks closely at NFL rookie values all year long.
Let's go! Let's get this show going, man.
Hurry up, hurry up!
The Rookie Fever Podcast.
We're just having fun and we're working, baby. That's it,
baby. Let's go. Wait, see.
Welcome to the Rookie Fever Podcast. I'm Mike the Feverish Fenaro, and I am here with Jason DiRienzo. He is the co-host for the Weekly Checkdown Podcast and the Scouting Academy Sophomore Leap Pod. And you can find his written content at DebbieWatch.com. And you can find him on Twitter at All Purpose Scout. Jason, how are you?
I am awesome. I'm so happy to be doing this with you again, Mike. And this is my favorite time of year because we get to hear from so many fantastic minds in the Devy community and those who scout these prospects for months and just look at the, how they think of them, the different versions of what they think, and really kind of put together a complete paradigm shift sometimes. So this is exciting and I appreciate you having me on.
Oh, absolutely. So this is the second time we're having you on. There's only a few guests that get the second spot. And Jason, I think
special. Thank you.
I think we have such a great time. It was an easy ask. I was very happy to hear you accept. So
I appreciate that.
Are you ready to get into this?
I am ready.
Rookie Fevers. Rookie Player Profile Edition.
All right. So why don't you tell our listeners who you chose and why?
All right. So my guy this time around is going to be Purdue wide receiver David Bell, a guy that I've been scouting for quite a while now. Those who know the Devy Watch, we put out a huge project called the Devy Watch Guide, I'll call it, every single year. We have over 250 prospects in this guide. And David Bell was one of the guys that I was in charge of scouting in 2019 when he was coming out of high school. And watching his high school film, he wasn't a highly regarded recruit. He was a four-star. I think he was rated as the 19th overall receiver. And I just saw something special there as far as his intelligence as a route runner and some of the things that he could do on the field that really stood out, where normal high school prospects don't really showcase an ability so early on. And David did that for me. So even in my write-up, the last part of the write-up for the Devy Watch 2019, I said he's a gem in this class. You know, he's a hidden gem. And sure enough, he did even more than I could have imagined. I never expected him to perform the way he did, especially alongside a guy like Rondale Moore. And that's why I chose David Bell. He's very polarizing to me, and I'm very intrigued by his NFL upside.
Nice. Yeah, so a junior coming out of Purdue, entering the draft. 6'2". I've saw anywhere between 205 and 210 pounds, but good body weight. Mm-hmm. Broke out at age 19, right as you were starting to scout him out of college. 86 catches for 1,035 yards and 7 touchdowns on 131 targets. Last year, 93 catches for 1,286 and 6 touchdowns. I heard him described as a player who wins with process over speed and has an ability to keep man coverage off balance with route running and detailed footwork. So that's mm-hmm. back to what you kind of started with.
Right.
What does he do best?
I would say that his manipulation. Okay. You're going to see a common theme with me, Mike, the more we do this, where I like to see how the guys are at the line of scrimmage to start, like I said, with Garrett Wilson. And he has a variety of release moves. Now, I would like to see him add to that arsenal. But, he uses a power skip. Foot fire, single, double release moves, uses his hands more so not at the line of scrimmage because he didn't really have to against press coverage, didn't see it that much. But I do like the hand usage. He plays physical within the first 10 yards of his route stem, shows good body gestures as far as hip manipulation, head fakes, different things like that in order to create separation, and has the physicality in order to create separation at the same time. So when I see these things, that again, that lays out that foundation I'm looking for, for the upside. He doesn't have to be taught how to do this. And I do believe that Purdue didn't use him to the skill set that he can actually provide. You know, when it came to Rondale Moore, he was used more of, within the 5 yards. I think Rondale Moore can play more of a variety and downfield more. And I think we'll start seeing that as he progresses. Same thing with David Bell. I don't think Purdue used David Bell to the advantage that they could have. So I'm really interested to see an NFL team get their hands on him and see what he can do there. But he's outstanding in contested catch situations, great catching in traffic. He doesn't have the speed. And I think that's valid. This statement that you made previously before we got into this. I think he is more of an intelligent receiver than a speed receiver. And because of that, I'm not too concerned about the speed. I think his play speed, which we get, you know, mixed up with actual long speed.
Absolutely.
Where the processing speed of what he's actually blueprinting on the field as he does everything is pretty fast. So I really like the I like what I've seen from David Bell, and I'm even more intrigued what an NFL team can do with him.
You had me at power skip.
All right. So you'll see it's almost like a hop skip, you know, where he's kind of allowing the defender not really to know what to do with his hips yet, because he's kind of skipping first, and then he'll do a single or double move in order to get around him. And that's a little advanced. And I saw that advancement again within his high school film, not to that necessarily as far as the release move, but I saw the development with his arsenal of what he can do at the line of scrimmage. And yeah, man, I'm always intrigued by that.
And that's categorized, as you said, like as a release move.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. Yep. I feel like I'm getting more intelligent every time I get on here with you. this is cool. This makes me want to look at tape. I'm not lying. Like those release moves, they make me want to like look at receivers and see like who's using what and then identify what they are. It's very exciting talking about wide receivers. I think that's why you like it so much.
Well, I'll tell you what, I do like it because of that. And I will say, when you find a receiver that doesn't have the speed or the initial acceleration, he's got to make up for it somehow. And he knows how to make up for it. And that's why I feel confident in David Bell.
I saw him mocked at pick 66. So that's the start of the third round, ninth wide receiver off the board to Detroit. That's a lot to digest. So early third round pick, ninth wide receiver to Detroit. What are your thoughts?
Gross going to Detroit. So let's just forget about that part. I don't like that at all. But I think the range of outcomes for him is probably between the late second, early third. But I would be comfortable if I'm an NFL team and I've watched this film and I've seen what I can do with him. He fits my scheme. I'm looking anywhere between early to mid second. Absolutely.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. That's higher than I've seen him in any mock.
Yeah. And that's absolutely fine, because I would love for him to go within that, you know, that range as far as rookie drafts, because he'll just be end up being a value depending upon landing spot. If he goes to the Lions, good God.
Anyway. Where is he? I mean, this might be unfair, but you can even give me a range if you don't have a number, but where do you have him in your wide receiver rankings? Like where about, like, so for example, this mock had him at 9.
Yeah. I don't know yet. This is a receiver class that is actually a lot deeper than people are giving it credit for. There's a lot of upside here. You know, we talk about the Garrett Wilsons, Chris Olaves, Drake Londons. You know, Jahan Dotson's another one I'm trying to pinpoint and find a place for, because I think he's very, very talented. Jameson Williams, we still have yet to kind of see, you know, what that upside can be, because he got injured and where people are comfortable placing him. But he should be a first round pick. So I'm not really sure. I want to put him in the top five because I do feel he deserves it. But he might be right outside that top five for me when it's all said and done.
That's pretty high. So between 5 and 7, somewhere in that range.
I would say that's a comfortable range. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, you know, I'm going to ask it ceiling and floor.
So I'm not going to go comp wise, but okay, I'm going to be careful with this one.
Okay.
Because I am going to comp it, but I'm only going to go to the skill set of the comp, as we all should, right?
Okay.
So I think anywhere between what Cooper Kupp can do based on his lack of speed, but intelligence on the field and his route running, I think that is a foundation that we can build on for what Cooper Kupp developed into. I don't think he's going to be Cooper Kupp. Please don't say that. But I think for what he is capable of doing, he can do similar things.
Gotcha.
So upside, I would say that. Downside, maybe like a Josh Doctson, if he doesn't develop and everything kind of falls apart for him, maybe something somewhere in there.
So there's some heavy downside.
Yeah, there's absolutely downside, because
especially if he went to Detroit.
If he goes to a team that, because again, I don't, he's not one of those players. He played 80% on the outside, on one side, right? So every time I see that, it kind of gets me a little concerned, because I don't know what a player can do when they're put on the opposite side of the field, or when they're put into the slot, where I do feel like he'd be great at the slot, but he doesn't have the speed for a lot of yards after the catch, which a lot of teams want at their slot receiver. So he might not be put there. He'll probably be put on the outside. And so there is downside if he has trouble with that transition going to the opposite end of the field, or coming from a team like Purdue, who only limited the amount of what they allowed him to do. And now he's got to learn a lot as far as expanding his route tree.
So he has the savvy to be on the inside.
Oh, yeah.
He lacks the speed for yards after the catch. He has the body type for the outside, but again, maybe lacks the speed to stretch the field. Where do you see him best utilized? Is it both? Is it a little bit in the slot and a little bit in the outside, and that's kind of going to be his thing?
Yeah. Even though he lacks the speed, Mike, I think we always have to remember, how does he create separation? He can do that with physicality and manipulation. So he could break a tackle and still get a good amount of yards. He's just not going to burn it downfield like an Elijah Moore would if you know what I mean? Like the combined forces, you know, I would much rather get Elijah Moore out in the open field than David Bell, who's going to get chased down, if that makes sense.
No, that makes a lot of sense, actually. I totally
agree. Yeah, he could play outside or inside. Absolutely.
Yeah, and NFL teams are always looking for that, too. So, and again, the size is nice. Last year's class had a lot of little guys, including Elijah Moore. Where do you think this is an interesting one?
Yeah.
Because I think you're a little higher on him, just a little bit, not a ton, but you're a little higher on him than I've seen. Where do you think he goes in rookie drafts?
That, of course, that's going to come down to draft capital.
Yeah.
But if I'm playing a guessing game, and we'll go where he's been mocked, just for the fun of the game here.
Yep.
I would say maybe between 2.3 and 2.6.
Yeah.
Somewhere in there.
That's funny. I was thinking the same thing.
Were you?
Yeah, I was thinking, like, just based on him being the 9th wide receiver, this quarterback class being meh.
Right, yeah.
Right, so I'm thinking you could get a mid-second.
Yeah.
And that's an exciting mid-second round pick. I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody call the cops, because I would steal David Bell at that point, man. I would be so happy. Depending landing spot, of course.
But. Well, this is why you play these games, right? Because, you know, rookie drafts aren't going to happen for a minute. So it's nice to talk about them now and see how they move up. Like Elijah Moore moved up quite a bit. We thought you could get him later. And depending on when your rookie draft was, not so much. Secret was out.
So it's good to see how these premonitions go.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. When you play this back, this is, we got receipts. Mm-hmm. I know you said, you mentioned some concerns at the top of the show, but can you mention a concern that you think will have the greatest impact on him in the NFL?
I really, you know, when I see him going against some of the DBs in college, he's pretty hip to hip. That's a concern of mine, because he's only going to go against better, faster, more athletic defenders with quick mental processing that can mirror his footwork. So he, as much as I love the release and I love the route running and manipulation and the breaks that he has at the top of his routes, he's going to have to get even better at it, because he doesn't have the twitchy athletic upside that some of these receivers do, where they can still make up for that lack of, you know, maybe physicality if it's a smaller receiver. But yeah, he's going to have to do something about that speed to really beat these NFL defenders. Even with the physicality and everything like that, I don't like the fact that I see him hip to hip right now with college athletes.
Gotcha.
That bothers me a little bit.
Gotcha. So he might be, Swags and I play a game pretty much after, I'd say between the draft and the preseason, where it's out of the gate or wait. Is he one of those guys that you kind of envision like a late season kind of flashes out of him? Or is he somebody that could show you something early and often?
Both, but it would not surprise me if we see an Amara St. Brown late season type of jump for him once things start clicking, because like I said, he's smart. So I don't think it's going to take him too long, but it's going to take him a minute to really get up to speed with certain things, I believe. That would not surprise me if the last 4 to 5 games of the season, he starts taking off, and then, you know, his value jumps in the offseason.
Well, I also think, like, you and I have like this uncanny ability that if we keep speaking things, they happen. So we got to stop. Right. We got to stop talking about Detroit for a second. You mentioned Amon-Ra. That's Detroit again. So I'm going to stop saying the D word, and I'm going to ask you, where would you like to see him go? Give me an NFL team where you would be like, you know what? There's opportunity there. I like the coaching staff there, and I think he fits with that quarterback.
I'm trying to. Yeah, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to say this just because there's open opportunity right now.
Yes.
And I trust the coaching staff. I don't trust them. You know what? This is horrible. I would like him. I'd like to see him with the Pats, because there's so much open opportunity there right now. You know, and I trust Mac Jones's ability to play with the skill set that is David Bell, because of the catch radius, everything he can do. I think he'll really be a QB friendly wide receiver, and I think Mac Jones would take to him very quickly. I'm just going to choose the Patriots right now, probably because I'm just having a brain fart. And that's the first one that comes to mind.
So I don't hate that one. Here, I'll give you another one. Washington.
The quarterback situation is my only hesitation.
I got to give you a quarterback.
And a part of me wants, I'm going to be selfish again. I know I said it with the last one, but the Bears are in need and David Bell's a favorite. And I think he would be a great fit in Chicago, you know, especially they only have a second round pick right now. And he would probably fall right in line with, if they truly like him as much as I do, with where they'd be picking or even move back a couple of spots and take him.
I was going to say their second or third round pick. Yeah. They traded away their first and fourth for Fields to the Giants. So they do have that second and third. Yeah, if they felt like there was a more pressing need in the top 100 at two, at their second round pick, they could potentially get Bell at third, and then you would be pretty happy with that.
Yeah, I'd be absolutely stoked. Let's
opportunities make that happen, boys. There, young quarterback, way more likely than I think Garrett Wilson.
I was like, you know what, should I say it again? But it's actually a lot more realistic. So let's go with Chicago.
All right, I like it.
Forget the Patriots. I don't know what I was thinking.
I like that one too.
I don't mind it either. Yeah.
How would David Bell rank from a prospect point of view against the 2021 wide receiver class? I heard that right away. He's like, damn, this one again.
I know. Just because, you know what? It turned out to be such a great class when you look at the whole picture of everything.
Oh my God, yeah, did it.
That it's so hard to place him in a certain spot because there was also such a cliff at the end of some of these top guys.
Yep.
And I don't think he belongs in that Terrace Marshall cliff, you know? Right. So maybe maybe somewhere around Amon-Ra St. Brown right now.
Yeah.
Just because the speed, the nuance, like I feel like that all kind of connects together.
Yep.
So we'll see in that Amon-Ra St. Brown area.
Okay.
I don't remember what that was, but sounds good to me.
It was down there a bit. He was a fourth round draft pick.
So. Oh, no. You know what?
It was down there a bit.
Yeah, that's.
I'll take an Amon-Ra season. That's for sure. That would be great for David Bell.
Because I had Amon-Ra ranked within my top 10. So that's why I'm like, because I know I had Tylan Wallace in my top 10.
Yeah,
so it's kind of hard to kind of piece where he would go. Because after Jalen Waddle, who I had ranked sixth, after Rondale Moore, I can't really recall. And I know it was just a drop off at that point.
Yeah, no, it's a huge drop off. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think Amon-Ra was actually right after that. So somewhere in there.
Yeah, there was a
7-8, we'll say.
There was a distinct drop off of all positional players at that exact period. Like if you were at the, I want to say 2.5 to 2.9, after that, it was just like, who cares? I literally remember that last year. It was like, who the hell cares? Now we got Amon-Ra was probably after that point. We had Elijah Mitchell. We had those cherry picked guys that, you know, good luck trying to figure out who they are from every season. But I remember that specifically, even a Pat Freiermuth in tight end premiums was right at the edge of that cliff, if not off of it. Like there was just people that weren't super excited after like the mid round of the second. And this is a draft class that people aren't too excited after the first two or three players, to be quite honest.
I think that will change after a little while.
Yeah, you told me at the beginning of the show. You're like, this wide receiver class, don't overlook it. There's a lot of depth here.
I think where they land in draft capital is going to help us rearrange that a little bit. But I do like what I've kind of been looking at. I think the top 8 or 9 are pretty strong if they land in the right situation.
All right, before we move on, because I did this to you last time, before we move on to the general questions about the class, is there anything else that you want to get us excited about with David Bell?
Well, really, it just comes down to the fact that he played alongside Rondale Moore a few times, you know, I think in 2019 and 2020, where Rondale Moore played 3 games, David Bell played 6. And man, there were some games that he just looked like the more dynamic player. And that's crazy to see. Now, it could have come down to, and it probably did, Rondale Moore's health. But it's great to see a player that actually is able to kind of produce consistently the way that he did. And like I've said before, I'm kind of looking at the analytics portion of it. So when I look at that, he had a career dominator rating of 31.05%, which is great. The BMI right now, I think, is questionable, but he's around a 26, which is absolutely fine. 2.21 yards per team pass attempt. That's good enough for me. I'll take it. Receptions in the season, my baseline is between 60 and 70. That 93 really put him over the top, especially going over 100 targets twice in the career that he had. Breakout age, I think, was right at the end of 18, around 19, I believe. Outstanding. Average depth of target is 11. Yards per route run is 2.36, which is great. Career yards per reception, 12.7, even though they used him a little bit more toward the line, which is fantastic. fantastic. He's an early declare and a multi-sport athlete playing basketball. So he checks a lot of boxes for me.
Wow. Before we move on, there's a list of weaknesses on his NFL draft profile. And I'm just going to read them off to you. There's like four or five. They all seem to be related to that physicality. So I want to kind of examine his physicality again.
All right.
Can be bounced off balance inside of the route. Intermediate and downfield routes are a little to one speed, lacks optimal body type for combat catches. Never heard anything called a combat catch, but
I might start using that. Go ahead.
Yeah. below average win rate on downfield battles for the ball. Again, four out of five of those were like physical things. Can you talk about this as physicality, especially since you mentioned his BMI late there?
Yeah, it's situational. I know exactly the games that they're probably talking about. Saw it a little bit in the Ohio State game, but then I also saw him do it one time, but then consistently beat the defender out probably four or five times after that. So it depends on what you're watching. If you're watching condensed game versions or, you know, simplified games, then yeah, you might see some things that you're like, oh, well, that was crappy. But yeah, you got to get the whole picture of David Bell. You got to watch all 3 years of David Bell, just like any player. I mean, he had five drops. I watched one really bad drop from him this season in the end zone. Should never have dropped it. And I'm like, well, dude, like, come on. But it's only I think he has like a 5% drop percentage this, I think, last season. And he had what, 93 receptions and over 130 some odd targets. Like, okay, like one bad drop. How many times do you see a good receiver have a bad drop? We saw Jamar Chase do that this season, you know, so I'm not worried about that portion of it. If it's a consistent problem, I will note it and I'll look for it to see if it continually happens. But yeah, it's game situational. Sometimes he gets beat. Sometimes he beats the player, but I've seen him beat more than get beaten. And that makes me feel fine.
Is there a game that I should go watch?
Oh, Ohio State. Notre Dame game was probably the worst I've watched. Ohio State, I was really impressed with him. I do believe he went against a freshman DB when in my notes. So that was something I had to take in consideration. But the confidence he had playing against a level of, you know, Ohio State Buckeyes, you know, in that game, I felt good. I felt like it didn't, you know, rattle him at all. He was ready to take on whoever he faced. And he did exactly what I needed him to do, regardless of the defender he was facing. So I felt good about that one.
All right. We're moving on from David Bell. We got some questions just generally. Jason, what's the one thing regarding your process that you value the most when evaluating rookies?
Intelligence. I want to see them do things. Yeah. I want to see them do things that makes me feel like they've already been in the NFL maybe a year or two. If I see that, I'm already intrigued. And then as the whole picture comes together, the analytics tell me a story, the film tells me a story, and I see them really process and do things that I'm just like, wow, okay, this could be a year one starter. That's kind of, you know, we're talking dynasty and fantasy football. I'm targeting that individual because, you know, it's dynasty. We do this for a long time, but do I truly want to wait on a player if I see something that is special? No, I'm going to be targeting that guy that I feel like is intelligent enough to take on NFL competition right now. It might be average NFL competition. They're obviously not going to do well against the Tre'Davious Whites, but normally they're going to be facing average athletic NFL competition on the outside or inside. And I'm going with wide receivers here. And then with running backs, I want to see the vision. Can they create for themselves? Are they hitting the right gap? If it's inside zone, are they taking the outside zone? If it's outside zone, do they have the speed to get to the edge? Quarterbacks, accuracy, you know, anticipation on their throws. And, you know, I know there's a big portion with the arm strength, but arm strength has to come with the synergy of the actual between the ears at the same time. So that's what I'm looking for. I want to see intelligence and I want to see nuance.
Love it. Love it. I mean, intelligence being the single word that you replied, I could kind of see that as wide receiver, but you can also see that at any other position, of course. Who's one rookie wide receiver that you're either higher on or lower on than most?
I think in the last one I chose, you know, doesn't even matter. I actually don't have another receiver. I do have a running back, if that's okay.
Yeah, of course it is.
Okay. I am very intrigued by Hassan Haskins out of Michigan. I think that he has the size. We saw him put up 5 touchdowns in a big game. He has the catches. He's never fumbled in his entire career, and he's not getting talked about or anything. And I'm thinking to myself, like, this is the kind of guy that I like. Like, this is what I'm talking about, because I want a gem. And he seems like a gem to me. If you look at everything that everybody gets excited for, you know, whether or not he has the speed or not, I've seen him, you know, work within the trenches and show good vision and become the bell cow. Michigan had no answer when Hassan Haskins got taken out of the game, because he was the primary focal point of that offense. That's what I want. And he's got the size, the receptions, the brute tenacity, the alpha mentality that I'm looking for. So I'm probably going to be higher on Hassan Haskins than most.
I love that. Dude, these last two questions are my favorite of the show. I love it. Neither of them are about David Bell. No, I like David Bell too. Jason, thank you so very much. Man. I appreciate you, your knowledge, of course, on these rookie prospects. Thanks for that little bit of running back talk in there. I like how you snuck that in. Please tell everyone where they can find you, your content, and anything else that you have coming up.
Yes. So on Twitter, you can find me at All Purpose Scout. I am at DeviWatch.com. We are putting together our DeviWatch guide for this year. And the transfer portal is probably going to have every single one of us writers bang our heads against the table for the next couple months. But we're putting together, you know, quite the product. And that's where you're going to find a lot of the content that you need as far as who these college prospects are and what to expect at the NFL level. Doing stuff with the Scouting Academy. We have our series coming up, the Sophomore Leap. We're going to be starting that at the end of summer. And we do have our weekly Checkdown podcast with me and my man, Vern Main, over at Dynasty Nerds. And we get that going every single week. Took a little bit of a hiatus with the Super Bowl, but we're getting into our NFL draft coverage starting this week.
Yeah, this is a great time of year, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
This is the best.
Vernon and I are going to be geeking out, man. It's going to be crazy.
You play Dynasty. This is when it really starts.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Jason. And thank you, our listeners, for listening to this profile and the rest in this series. This is the Rookie Fever Podcast. Please do not forget to rate and review. And please do not forget to be awesome. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. Fever. In the morning, fever all through the night. Sun lights up the daytime, moon lights up the night. I light up when you call my name, and you know I'm gonna treat you right. Rookie fever. When you kiss me, fever, when you hold me tight. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago now. Who got the 101 scouting? He's never done this to before. And run, I told you anyone. Size and speed just on real landing spot. Not ideal. Wait, what's his breakout? A full rookie fever stage. Romeo loved Juliet. Juliet, she felt the same. When he pulled his arms around her, he said, Julie, baby, you're my flame. I'll give a fever. When we kiss it, fever with that flame in you. Fever, I'm a fire. Fever, yeah, I burn for soon. Got the fever, cause I got the fever. Now you got the fever, so she got the fever, and he got the fever. No cure for the fever, so let's feed the fever. Thank God for the fever. Thank God for the fever. What a lovely way to burn. What a lovely way to burn. Now you got the fever. Now you got the fever.